Hey, everybody. Thank you for coming to a special episode of Frank About Health. In fact, I decided to call it Frank About a Trip to the Brain. A lot of the last few weeks have really focused a lot of illnesses that I believe focus on the brain. They start there. How so? Well, whenever we're faced with experiences, whether they're traumatic or whether they are, in fact, organic in nature, you have a flu, you end up, you know, having an infection or any of that stuff, the brain has a way of responding to that. We also have to respond to it by finding the right treatment. And thus far, as we've been talking about the last several weeks, there are alternative treatments. And there are, of course, the traditional ones that we all have to maintain our quality of life. Therefore, this trip to the brain is going to talk about two very important aspects of healthcare. One of them is medical tourism. Medical tourism has been a recent evolving treatment protocol that many patients have had to undertake for various reasons. One of them is economic reasons. Because of the high cost of treatments in this country, a lot of people have found that there might be better treatment protocols available in Europe or Asia or South America, to name a few. But it is also going to be a very interesting discussion about how it has evolved, how it has gotten a lot of people with chronic illness, as well as people who are looking for specialized treatments, interested to become involved in it. It is also, in some ways, a necessity, I feel, especially since I had talked on a show a while back about how I have to obtain my medications from Canada. Albeit, it is not medical tourism in that regard, but it has a dynamic that's appropriate because we're talking about saving on cost. I do want to also let you know that we are having a returning guest towards the second half of the show. She was on the very first show. If you recall, we were talking about epilepsy and alternative treatments. Danielle Swanson, who will be available in about half an hour, will talk a lot about body, brain, yoga, and Tai Chi. That's the part about the trip to the brain. She's going to be able to show about the whole theories of body and brain education, well, rather, brain energy and the evolution of it from some historical figures, which we'll talk more about later on in the show. I figure for this particular show, it is going to be concentrated based on the speakers that are coming on, as well as based on trying to be more precise with how you can engage with me on social media. Therefore, I will only do three hashtags going forward. One of them is hashtag Frank About Health. Another is hashtag Talking Alternative. And hashtag, in the first segment of our show, Medical Tourism. Dane Krislevich will be joining us as well to discuss a lot of the economic aspects. And I'm pretty much personally looking forward to hear how this conversation is going to go forward, because what I've discovered is on every episode, I learn a lot as well. Okay, so I'd like to know if any of you have any questions about medical tourism. Please contact me on Twitter at Frank Healthcare. And I've already mentioned the other means you can contact me through hashtags. What I understand is that Renee Marie Stefano, who is the CEO of Medical Tourism Association, will definitely provide added value on today's show as we take our trip to the brain. And as I said, both her and Dane Krislevich will be having and spearheading this conversation as we go forward. So I gather, Renee, are you in fact available? No, not yet. Dane, I think you're there.
Yes, I am. Good afternoon. Just on the call, we will be waiting for Renee Maria Stefano to join us as well.
Great. Okay, then maybe you could also shed some light on some of the aspects that we'll be hearing about as when she gets on the line. Do you have any thoughts you want to bring to the listening audience?
I think for myself, I've seen firsthand some of the hospitals, the treatment centers throughout Asia that are involved in medical tourism. I've seen a bit about how it's been growing over the last couple of years. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And for me, I think that Maria is going to give us a great overview of what medical tourism is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it has evolved and how it's continuing to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just in general, you know, I know firsthand that, by 2019, a lot of studies are showing that medical tourism market on a global basis will reach well over $30 billion. Mm. And it's been growing by about 15% per year. And a lot of that, you know, has to do with, you know, just, you know, how cross-border hospitals are just continuing to improve and evolve, mm-hmm. you know, their level of services. So it's going to be a great conversation. It's going to be educational. Also, it'll point the audience into a direction where, you know, they could also find, you know, more information about, you know, which treatments that they could obtain in which countries, you know, what is required for it, like, you know, a visa, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, you know, a passport if you're going across, you know, country lines. And then just in general, you know, what is the, you know, like, what the future is going to provide for the whole industry in general.
Before we speak with Renee, I just have a question, Dane, for you. Would you find that there is an increase in demand for medical tourism because of our own recent economic issues here in this country with regards to healthcare, or is there no correlation in that respect?
There's a high correlation. You know, there's a high correlation, you know, with the number of people that are first uninsured, mm-hmm. That would need to have a procedure done. Mm-hmm. Then there's a higher correlation with, you know, people that are insured, but now they have a higher deductible mm-hmm. that they have to pay out of pocket. Yeah. And, you know, I guess Renee will give us a little bit of insight into the economics behind it, you know, for certain treatments. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to, you know, essentially, you know, get, you know, developed medical treatments at a fraction of the price, you know, in destinations that are far cheaper, mm-hmm. then most definitely economics, you know, does play into this a lot. Additionally, you know, I think we've had a few guests on that have just talked about, you know, in general, the length at which, you know, it takes to sometimes get appointments, mm-hmm. You know, get a surgical procedure, you know, put into place within, say, our country, or I know the UK has, you know, very similar, you know, patterns where, you know, there's long lines and long waiting for, you know, people to actually maybe have a surgical treatment. And so they, therefore, you know, look outside of their own country, mm-hmm. you know, for it. So there's a lot of factors that are, you know, put into place when it comes to it, but you know, it's become a lot more developed. Yes. You know, and you know, it's basically, you know, with more information, with is what Medical Tourism Association does. It puts it at, you know, people's fingertips. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot better for, you know, the overall, you know, community to have this information and then, you know, be able to act on it.
Now, in your research, what have you found to be probably the largest countries that most people go to, or maybe it's around an even distribution between the three that I mentioned, for example?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it's by, you know, certain levels of treatment. I'm not an expert on that. I'm going to, right. you know, sort of allow Renee to elaborate on that.
Sure.
But when you look across, you know, where through my research and actually through, you know, hospitals that I visited, you know, that have had a lot of medical tourism, mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing it in places like India, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, you know, Mexico, Brazil, Taiwan, Turkey, mm-hmm. South Korea, Costa Rica, you know, mm-hmm. Poland, Dubai, Philippines, you know. And what I did find was in talking to, you know, the hospitals and the staff is that they have a very well-trained nursing staff, doctor staff, clinicians that, you know, have studied, you know, in developed countries, mm-hmm. you know, with their education and also getting their actual practical experience. And then they've, you know, brought all this back to their home market. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the facilities, it's unbelievable. You know, mm-hmm. some of them are set up where, it's almost like coming into a hotel. And the one thing that is very good about this is, you know, it also allows for the locals in those communities to have an increase in their, in the improvement of their own medical treatments, because, you know, as these hospitals and clinics are, you know, seeing more financial support and more patients coming over for medical tourism, that allows them to develop.
Yes.
And then it also, you know, helps with the medical quality of the services for, you know, the local people. So, you know, it's a cycle in which, you know, it's become more important for just people to have higher quality healthcare. And, you know, that's one area that medical tourism provides for, you know, individuals need to seek it outside their country, but also then because it furthers the development along with the local hospitals and everything else, then it improves the quality of life for everyone in general.
Awesome. I know we're about to take a break in about another minute, but before I go into that, I wanted to ask you one more question. Is there a particular disorder that you think our listeners are going to really understand the value of medical tourism going forward that you think about or that seems from your research to be a predominant reason why people travel abroad for their care?
Then again, I'm not an expert on, I mean, but from my research, I've seen that, you know, it's for various surgical procedures, dental tourism, cosmetic surgery, psychiatry. There's also, you know, people have their genders changed in other countries. I'm not an expert on that either, but, you know, maybe, you know, we could find out more information, you know, and, you know, it, but it's not for someone that just goes over because they broke their arm.
Right.
You know, that's where they would need immediate local care. This is where, you know, there's a lot of thought and, you know, put into it, a lot of planning.
Right.
And that's why the people at Medical Tourism Association, you know, provide, you know, all of that information and guidelines for, people to take advantage of.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're about to go into our break. Hopefully when we return, we'll hear more from you and Maria. Renee.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Are you concerned about epilepsy, autism, or diabetes? Are you interested in alternative treatments, the impact of health, or new therapies? Then tune into my show, Frank About Health. I'm Frank Harrison, the host. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc, where you learn more about these illnesses, treatments, the social impacts, and create a dialogue with each other. That's Frank About Health, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Everybody, thank you for coming back. As you all know, I was speaking with Dane about the, you know, medical tourism, which we're going to learn a lot about this afternoon. I also wanted to add, you know, there are a lot of people out there from various countries, some of which we had a chance to discuss before the break. I gather all of you out there who are listening from those countries, you're probably already aware of some of these issues with medical tourism from a different perspective. So I'm glad you're all available to tweet amongst yourselves about the various issues of medical tourism. And I understand right now that our guest today, Renee Marie Stefano from Medical Tourism Association, is online. And congratulations for being on our show, Frank About Health. How are you, Renee?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Very good. I've heard so much about you. I'm glad I have the chance to meet with you right now.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. So, Dane, I think you were, before the break, talking about some of the issues that I know that Renee has much more expertise on them. Would you like to expand upon them with her right now?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Renee.
Good afternoon, Dane.
Thank you so much. So I guess for the listening audience, you know, if you could give a general overview of what medical tourism is, you know, how, you know, your role with being the president and the co-founder of the Medical Tourism Association, you know, what your mission is, you know, raising awareness, and then also, you know, we could get into a little bit more of the logistics of, you know, how medical tourism provides a platform, you know, for people to, you know, acquire, you know, the medical treatments in developed countries, you know, or developing countries at a fraction of the price. So just in general, like starting off with, you know, what your thoughts are on, you know, how medical tourism has evolved and improved, and then where we stand right now.
Great. So medical tourism essentially is someone traveling from their home location to somewhere else for health and wellness services. So that may be outside of their state, it may be outside of their country, but the common denominator is that this health and wellness seeker is looking for value. So the value might be they're looking for better quality, they may be looking for something that's more affordable, or they may be trying to avoid long queues or long wait times, or are looking for an advanced medical procedure or technology or medication that is currently not available where they are locally. But the key component of what defines a medical tourist versus, say, someone that's being emergency evacuated is that the patient has choice, meaning they're having an opportunity to think about where they want to travel for care based on those factors. And so this may be anywhere in the world. It could be from one state to another or from one city to another. So it does involve some sort of travel or transportation, which may be automobile, train, air flight. And in the end, what we advocate as an organization is transparency, education, and communication. So we founded the association on the idea that patients or prospective health and wellness seekers were challenged to find good quality services. A lot of what they were doing is searching on the internet, trying to ascertain what good quality there was, matching, say, apples to apples in terms of a knee replacement in India versus a knee replacement in Singapore. So the transparency of quality is important, the transparency of pricing, and we are a strong advocate for educating the patient about their options and making sure that they're making an educated choice. Generally, patients are looking for, in terms of quality, they're looking for as good of quality, if not better, than they can get at home. And if they don't have to travel as far and they can get that quality, they likely will travel to places that are closer. But that presents quite a few challenges. Oftentimes, patients haven't been global travelers, so they may be challenged to understand how to get a visa. They may not know what hotels that would be appropriate. They may not have the information available to them readily on the internet, but moreover, some of the travel agents may not be familiar with medical-related travel to be able to support them. Oftentimes, they'll need to get visas, and this is an important thing because many countries, many patients coming from certain countries may have a struggle getting a visa, and so there are things like medical visas that can be acquired. So we work with the healthcare providers, but we also work with travel agents and what's called medical tourism facilitators, which are companies that help build, they build networks of healthcare providers and help support the entire patient management process. That may include helping them find appropriate lodging and appropriate travel support, assist them with acquiring a medical visa if it's necessary, and seeking safe, high-quality healthcare services. And some medical tourism facilitators will also help patients obtain quotes for the care and be able to provide testimonies from prior patients, references, so that the patient has an easier decision-making process and also has the confidence to know that they're going to a good quality facility with a doctor that's experienced and that they won't necessarily have any problems such as language barriers or safety issues and those types of concerns that may arise. So our organization is really focused on in several areas. One, we work as an advocate for the industry in and of itself. We set best practices for patient management. And so we certify healthcare facilities. We also certify hotels and recovery centers that will receive a health and wellness seeker for recuperation. And we also have gotten more involved in things like developing a technology called the Global Patient Management System, which helps improve the care continuum for a patient over the long term. So we're looking at all the gaps and the touch points in the industry as an association and working collaboratively to try to fill those gaps with trustworthy, reliable services and technology.
Awesome. If you don't mind my asking, with the insurance companies in various countries, is that something you also get involved with, or is that a different issue?
Well, on the education side, one of the biggest areas that we felt would boost the opportunities for medical tourism, and we strongly believe in medical tourism because we believe it affords a patient the opportunity of choice. And whether a patient is paying on their own for their services or whether they are using their benefits through an employer-sponsored plan or even individually insured through a fully insured insurance company, we believe that patients should have the element of choice. So we work with a lot of international insurance companies, a tremendous number of U.S. insurance companies, and we also dedicate our time to educating self-funded employers about opportunities that may be established through implementing medical tourism with their insurance plans. The idea is that not only can this provide greater opportunities for the patient, but it can also reduce the overall cost of benefits for employers so that employers can offer more robust programs for their employees. So again, allowing that employee to have a greater element of choice. And we've seen not as quickly for the fully insured carriers to implement medical tourism, but we've seen a tremendous amount of growth in the self-funded employer market, predominantly because self-funded employers have a lot of control over their benefits packages. They can be very creative, and they're able to look at cost reduction strategies, and it's very important for them to focus on improved solutions for their employees over time. So medical tourism is a very creative way for cost reduction, but also, I think more importantly and more attractive, it's for employees to be able to travel for services where they may get better outcomes.
Right.
And if they have better outcomes, then the time that they spend outside of work is reduced. They return to work quicker. There's a reduced the likelihood of complications, and all these things are great for the patient, their families, and the employers that employ them.
It's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful option to maintain quality of life. So, Dane, you were going to discuss other economic issues that are...
Yes, so Renee, beyond just the economics behind medical tourism, does your association promote a forum for communication? In your last point where you talked about being able to allow families the knowledge of where they're able to receive better care, the time that it took for everything else. Do you have a forum where all this is being aggregated that people would be able to go to and then look at?
So we have various educational websites. Medicaltourism.com is our consumer site where we have a directory of providers that we have collaborated with, where that is attached to HealthFlight Solutions Global Patient Management System. It's a very robust technology. There's really nothing else like it. It allows patients to compare one provider against another, one doctor against another for the services that they're looking for. So I use the example of a knee replacement. When you're asking for a knee replacement, it involves various aspects of that procedure. So a knee replacement in a hospital in India is going to be compared with the same knee replacement service in Thailand. And so there's no question when you look at cost comparisons that you're comparing apples to apples. Mm-hmm. We also have Medical Tourism Magazine, which is our industry publication where we have a lot of case studies, patient stories, and information, everything from about, risk of complications to opportunities for traveling to different areas for services and specific advancements in medical technology. There's a lot of great articles on there for prospective patients to find. Mm. And then additionally, we have produced the Medical Tourism Index, which is medicaltourismindex.com, which is a global index that measures the perception of a destination for medical tourism based on 34 criteria. Mm-hmm. There's 41 destinations listed there, and our most recent study had 4,300 respondents, but it essentially will evaluate mm-hmm. the destination environment, the medical tourism industry environment, and the quality of facilities and services in hospitality and healthcare.
Excuse me.
So that also gives you an idea of things like safety and security and that type of thing. So if a patient is thinking about going to a particular country or part of the world,
Renee,
they can look at that as perhaps a first stop.
We're about to take a break,
in
Renee.
In terms of selecting the destination. So those types of resources we publish. And then for industry professionals, our training, we have business.
Okay, Renee, I apologize, but we're going to have to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a minute.
We have an annual conference this year. Our event is...
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
Are you looking for a show where people talk about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Well, then you have come to the right place because the Rob and Callie Show is doing just that. For the last 10 years, Rob and I have been having our own version of Sunday morning therapy sessions on the phone, and now we're bringing it to the radio.
So tune in and call in live Wednesdays 8 to 8:30 on talkradio.nyc.
And that's Eastern Standard Time, so join us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody. Apologize for that quick edit. Thank you again to Renee Marie Stefano, CEO of Medical Tourism Association. I want to continue conversations with her, but I gather the best thing for each of you out there who's listening to this show is to reach me on Twitter. Hashtag medical tourism at Frank Healthcare is my handle. We could definitely follow up additional questions. Dane, thank you again for introducing us to her. And I gather you're still on the line because we now have another interesting guest, a returning guest, Danielle Swanson.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, very welcome. And Danielle Swanson, who is our returning guest from our first show, who works with Body Brain Yoga Tai Chi. I have a personal relationship with her based on both healthcare and friendship issues, which is a good thing. But she has agreed, and I'm very grateful to her returning, so we can really now explore, instead of an illness-specific issue with what she does, but the whole issue of brain education and brain energy, which I'm looking forward to hear. So, Danielle, are you available online?
Yeah. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm glad to hear from you again. Happy 7-year anniversary. You know what I mean. We just wanted to basically follow up on what you were talking about with what you do right there at Body Brain Yoga Tai Chi. I know that Dane and I had spoken to you a little bit about Il Chi Li, and I figured that you have a lot of insight into a lot of what brain education and brain energy is about and how it relates to specific illnesses or other kinds of things that can benefit from this type of treatment. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's just reception's a little bad up here. I'm actually up in Lake Placid today, but yeah, I've been practicing the body and brain yoga and Tai Chi for about 7 years now, so same amount of time as I've known you for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so body and brain yoga for me has personally helped me on several levels, on helping me to reduce a lot of anxiety and to deal with some depression. And I've had a seizure disorder, which we talked about last time I was on there,
yes,
for about almost 20 years now, 19 years. But it's helped me to reduce the seizures and to get off of some of my medications. And I've been teaching the body and brain yoga now, as well as brain education, for about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it help a lot of people also who have, like, autism and ADD, ADHD, to focus and to become more relaxed and to feel more confident. You know, I think a lot of times when there are different physical or mental, quote-unquote, issues, you know, people start to feel uncomfortable or like an outsider or strange or some kind of loneliness feeling. But I found that this practice really helps to build a sense of community and confidence that otherwise gets sometimes lost.
Yes.
In the way our society is set up these days.
Yes. By the way, I want to tell everyone out there that your conscious consultant, Sam Leibowitz, is going to be joining us on this. I know he's got expertise in this area, and I figured, Danielle, you and Sam can learn a lot from each other. And I figured the one particular thing I thought that you both can spearhead a conversation is about Il Chi Li himself and how he has done a lot of initial research into this field. So I'm glad to hear that it helps you. I know some of the suggestions you've given to me has helped me as well, but I figured I'd like to know more with you and Sam as to what Il Chi Li has done, what you both understand about his methodology, and I guess just see where we can go with this. I mean, to learn more about an alternative treatment that's recommended for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sam, I guess maybe.
So, Danielle, I mean, you've been practicing this now for 7 years. It's a form of Tai Chi, is it?
Yoga, Tai Chi, mindfulness.
Yoga,
yeah,
Tai Chi.
It's kind of a combination of things.
So, this is where you're focusing not just on the brain, but really using the body as well, because the body has its own intelligence, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's actually what really drew me to this, is that it's not just trying to do everything with the brain. It's not just physical exercise, but it really ties the two together and really helps people to sensitize, you know, to feel their body and the body's own intelligence, as you just said. I think a lot of times with all the technology these days and a lot of stress levels kind of take people up and out of their bodies, and they kind of lose the sense of what different physical feelings actually mean. Whereas when you take time to feel your body, you can actually use it as a tool to help you rather than
feeling upset about it.
Right, right. And Tai Chi, you know, people, I mean, know it. It is a martial art similar to, well, not similar to, but like, you know, Kung Fu and Karate and other forms of martial arts, except Tai Chi is more of a moving, meditative type of martial art. And there's a real energetic component to it, isn't there?
Right, and that's what we say, at least in body and brain education, is that's sort of the key difference, is that we really, Tai Chi is all about feeling energy as you move, you know, and doing meditation, you know, moving meditation, feeling the energy, and utilizing that to calm the brain and to release stress. And it's something that Ilchi Liu has studied for, I think, over 40 years, and it's just been in these past 20 years that he's kind of refined it and brought it to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Where's he from originally?
There's a whole background behind it.
Where's Ilchi Lee originally from?
He's originally from South Korea.
South Korea, okay.
He grew up there, and he was born there, but he talks a lot about how he actually used to have a lot of issues and trouble in school, trouble focusing, and he would always get distracted and wonder, like, why do I have to learn this? What is the point of this? Who am I? Why am I here? And I think a lot of people can relate to that, because sometimes you wonder, really, not that school is bad, I actually love learning myself, but I think a lot of people wonder, well, why am I learning these different subjects? You know, sometimes we're just told to, you have to learn this, don't ask questions, just learn it. Whereas he kind of wanted to know who he was and why he was on this planet, like, what was the purpose of it. And so he ended up, actually, as he got older, after he graduated college, he's actually a master of Taekwondo, and he taught Taekwondo. He has, I think, a degree in psychology. But then he still wasn't satisfied with any of the answers he had gotten so far. So he did some ascetic training up in the mountains for about 21 days, like really intense training, trying not to lie down, or he did, I think, 21 days of fasting while he was up there, really just deeply asking and doing energy training while he was up there. Just, you know, he wanted to know what the deeper purpose of his life was, essentially. And that was sort of how brain education and body and brain yoga was born.
And so are there certain conditions that it obviously has more beneficial effects for, like ADHD or brain seizures or whatever? I mean, are there certain things that, like, it's really, really great for, and then other things it's good for?
I would say to sort of rephrase that, I would say the best thing is for, the most simple thing it's really good at, is helping to reduce stress and to manage emotions and thoughts and not be dragged around by them.
Mm-hmm.
But how effective it is for different physical or mental or emotional conditions, I think really depends on the person and how diligent they are about actually practicing. Mm-hmm. You know, like if two people with the same condition went in, but one person decided to practice yoga and meditation really diligently every day, even just for 15 minutes, but the other person just did it like 15 minutes a couple times a week or just sort of sporadically, there would be, of course, a difference in how effective it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I think mostly it's geared towards really helping people to connect with themselves and towards kind of recovering that spirit of, for lack of a better word, like for the connecting with that, our true selves, you know, not just our thoughts, not just our emotions, but reconnecting with that part of ourselves that is always there, that doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing and feeling that, okay, actually I'm enough, it's enough, everything's okay.
Yes.
And I think it's from that place that we really can start to heal any kind of different conditions. I've heard of, actually, there's one woman in Korea who had, I think she had, I just blanked on the word, arthritis, but she had it in her, like, her whole body. She had some really serious body conditions. She had, like, arthritis and fibromyalgia in her entire body. And she decided to practice 1 hour every day of these Tai Chi exercises, and she was able to cure herself entirely. She doesn't have those issues anymore, which I found really incredible.
Amazing. I mean, it is really an integrative approach to your health and your treatment and your quality of life. I mean, it becomes a way of life pretty much to maintain your health condition, whatever it is. It's a philosophy that you have to really engage in and believe in order to benefit from, correct?
Exactly, yeah. It's not just going to, just because you try a couple times and you feel like, oh, it kind of works, it kind of doesn't, then that's the result you're going to get.
Right.
But if you really try it with an open mind, like, okay, I'm going to make this work.
Yes.
Something has to work, and this is what I'm going to try, and this is what I'm going to do, then you'll see some more dramatic results.
Well, I wanted to ask you, like, there was a time recently where you actually helped me with an issue I was facing by saying, write down what you will be happening or what will you're what you're expecting to happen. It was like trying to go and write down, this is the result I expect. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. How would you classify that way of conditioning my brain to receive nothing but positive energy? I mean, is it just a form of meditation or is it something else in the whole aspect of brain energy?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above. It's a form of meditation, really, you know, asking yourself, what do I want, rather than being upset or worried about what might or might not happen. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we jump to conclusions or we worry about the negative things that might happen. But rather than focusing on that, you know, of course, we can accept that and look at them as a reality, mm-hmm. that, okay, this is possible, but really choosing to put your intention and your focus on what you want.
Right.
Not needing it, but just wanting it. Oh, this is what I really want. And then by writing it down and feeling it as though it's already in existence. Mm-hmm. And you guys may have heard of this before from different sources. I think like The Secret, that book and that movie talks a lot about it, but really feeling it as though it's already happened, as though it's right. already real. And that sort of allows you to just stay in the present moment and mm-hmm. to really attract to yourself what you do want rather than what you don't want. And that in and of itself is its own meditation, and it's a productive form of meditation, I believe.
Now, Danielle, we're about to take another break, but I want to tell everybody out there, if you want to know about more of this, hashtag body and brain, BodyNBrain. Overall, we're going to hear more from Danielle when we return.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Everybody, thank you again for me being frank about a trip to the brain. Thank you for joining me on this journey as we've just spoken with Danielle Swanson and a little bit of commentary from our conscious consultant, Sam. I know, Dane, you're still out there, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right. Sorry about not following up with you after our last discussion on medical tourism, but I think now's the perfect time to really embrace all the discussions that we've heard about Ilchi Lee and also about brain education, and of course engage in some of the questions you've brought to my attention over the last few weeks. So Danielle, it's fitting that you're in Lake Placid, so I gather you're feeling very placid right now. correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Dane, I did learn a lot from you. The questions that you were bringing up, especially about the writings that Ilchi Lee had done, I figured, do you have any questions for Danielle that can further engage us on this journey?
Yeah, I guess one of the questions I have is, are there any good books that the listening audience can, you know, read that maybe Ilchi Lee has written himself, or just on the whole principles about brain education?
Yeah, actually, there's one that just recently came out, which I'm actually just in the middle of reading right now. It's called The Power Brain, 5 Steps to Upgrading Your Brain Operating System. And it's actually the most comprehensive book of his that I've come across, because he's actually written a lot of books. But The Power Brain is actually really good, because it kind of ties everything together, the past, you know, 30 years of his, of studying this and creating it. And there's actually even a university dedicated to brain education in South Korea, and they're also trying to develop one here in the U.S. But it's, the reason that I say this book is because, A, it's like really comprehensive of everything he's been practicing and sharing with people, but it also has the larger message, which is something Ilchi Lee is very passionate about creating a more humanitarian, more caring world. And in Korean, they say Hongik Ingan, which means widely benefiting, or like a person who benefits everybody, not just themselves, not just their community, but really is mindful about how their actions, how their words affect others. And that for me is like, I'm kind of a big picture person, so that for me is really what made this book really great. And also Living Tao is another great one that he's written.
Okay, Living Tao.
Mm-hmm. So those would be the top two that I would recommend right now.
Wow.
And are there regional seminars within the United States and also globally that, you know, they have throughout the course of the year?
Well, there are different body and brain centers in various regions. They don't have them in every state, but you can attend different workshops or different classes, mm-hmm. or brain education classes in the different regions. If you go to bodyandbrain.com, you can find the ones nearest you. And I know there's actually a bunch of centers abroad, too. In Europe, there are a bunch, especially in London and Ireland. I think there's one in Germany. And there's one in Kuwait, actually. I know the trainer there. She's really wonderful. And in Japan, Korea, China, there's a whole bunch of centers there. But I would say the most simple method for people to attend like workshops or attend a class is to check out changeyourenergy.com, because that has not only like yoga and tai chi classes, but also full-length courses, anywhere from like a 1 or 2 hour mini course to like 8-10 hours that you can access, and you can just watch it at your leisure.
Amazing. Now what about the education that you had in this area here at Union Square in New York? Can you tell a little bit about that?
Oh, well, that's how I got started. It was I was living in New York City in Union Square at the time. I was attending NYU. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, long story short, woke up one day and realized I wasn't living the way I wanted to live. I wasn't really being the person I wanted to be. So I just decided to make a lot of changes and decided to start by trying a yoga class. And it just happened that I tried body and brain yoga first. And that was a block away from where I was in Union Square. So I kind of started classes there. They have actually a lot of fun events monthly, and they have, you know, regular classes. And it's a huge but very beautiful center. It's very well cared for, and that's what I was actually, part of what I was really impressed by, my initial impact there, is it was really clean, and it was just such beautiful energy there. You could tell that the instructors and even the other members who attended it really cared for it. And I think that makes a difference. You know, absolutely. It's one thing to just go in and go out and not pay any attention to other people around you, or, you know, but this, there was like such a caring feeling here, which is what I really liked about it.
Yeah, it definitely creates a sense of connecting and engaging, which you may lack at certain points in your life, especially if you're going through a quality of life based on a chronic illness that can be somewhat compromised. But from what it sounds like, you were able to use your opportunity right where you were living, basically, to your advantage. And I guess, of course, follow up with what you're doing right now with body, brain, yoga, and tai chi. Is there anything about your organization that you could share with the listening audience that a lot of people can also benefit from, like any particular treatment methodologies that maybe, you know, they can learn more about besides the top four we've been talking about?
I would say that the best way really is to actually go in and take a class, because it's different from any other yoga class you've ever tried before, any other Tai Chi class. Because I've taken many different kinds now just to see what all the different ones are like, but really there's something different about it, and I haven't found anything else like it, but it's taking a class and just kind of with an open mind is really the best way. And I've, you know, even doctors these days say that most of our illnesses are 80% stress related. So yoga, meditation, all these kinds of things are a very simple and relaxing and fun even way to kind of reduce your stress and start to pick up some tools, what you can do at home to manage that.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the principles that Ilchi Lee has on, you know, taking charge of your own health with belly button healing.
Yeah. So that's his newest project, is belly button healing, which I think most people haven't heard of before, but I certainly hadn't until just recently. But it's essentially saying that the belly button is a very large and important acupressure point or energy point on the body.
Yep.
And, you know, we normally don't think about the belly button much, especially in the U.S., I think. It's just sort of there. But he's developed actually sort of a tool you can use to press that acupressure point. You can even use your finger if it's comfortable, but pressing different, you know, treating your belly button basically like a clock and pressing different angles and seeing if there's one that feels more tight or sore than another, and spending a little extra time there, and it actually releases tension. It helps people with back pain, with the sciatic nerve pain, with flexibility and shoulder and hip joint issues have been a big one that helps people. So there's actually a new book about that also, belly button healing. And I think he even made it a website for it now, bellybuttonhealing.com or .org.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, the idea is basically that, you know, everybody has a belly button, right? You can't deny it, because we all come from our mothers, and we had that as a way of getting nutrients and releasing things that were toxic. And
correct.
It's, you know, kind of a source of life energy point.
Well, I can tell you from the personal acupuncture I've engaged in over the years, I know that my acupuncture doctor would pretty much put like 3 or 4 points right around the belly button. Stress would obviously be one reason. Another would be cholesterol, which I thought was interesting. And a third one was also for neck pain and knee pain, which I was having due to, you know, certain, you know, treatments that I had to have, like surgery. But a fourth thing for any of the guys out there that I found the belly button's useful for, especially in an acupressure point, is libido. So I find that using the belly button for various aspects of treatment, you know, whether to increase the value of what's already working or to help increase the value of things that have unfortunately become a little bit under stress, I definitely feel that belly button therapy is definitely something to explore going forward.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic.
Now, I understand you might be coming in at some point to New York. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a plan to come in either later this month or early August. I haven't set any final dates yet.
Well, we definitely have to connect as we always do, but definitely look forward to seeing you. I just want to tell everybody out there, we're close to ending today's episode. I just want to make some summaries here. As I mentioned, this episode was called Frank About a Trip to the Brain. We talked about medical tourism. Thanks again to Renee Marie Stefano, CEO of Medical Tourism Association. If you're out there listening, I apologize again for having to cut you off. I know you have a lot of information of value to provide, and I certainly learned from you some of the issues you mentioned. At the same time, Danielle, thank you again for coming back. I know I said on the first episode we would have you back, and you definitely have helped to expand beyond just the focus.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's alternative treatment, but it kind of encapsulates everything I've been talking about over the last 7, 8 weeks, whatever it's been. I think overall, everybody has to be aware of Body and Brain Yoga Tai Chi. Please check out their website. Also, as I said, hashtag Body and Brain. And also hashtag Talking Alternative and hashtag Frank About Health. These are conversations that are just not enough to finish within 1 hour. So I'm really hoping all of you out there, especially in the countries that we've mentioned today, who I believe are listening right now, let's definitely engage in further conversation over these topics. Danielle or Dane, before you both leave, is there anything you'd like to tell the listening audience about how to reach you or ask any questions? Alrighty.
I would just like to say, yeah, thank you for having me on again, Frank. It was great to be on the show and to be able to contribute.
Yes.
If people have more personal questions and they want to message me on Twitter or something, they can do that. LYLALYRA.
Okay.
Is the handle. Okay. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Okay. Well, also, we are about to cut out. Sam, thank you very much. Danielle, thank you very much. Dane, thank you very much for helping me these last few weeks. Everybody, I will be coming back soon. I'll see you in the Twitter sphere.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you concerned about epilepsy, autism, or diabetes? Are you interested in alternative treatments, the impact of health, or new therapies? Then tune into my show, Frank About Health. I'm Frank Harrison, the host. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc, where you learn more about these illnesses, treatments, the social impacts, and create a dialogue with each other. That's Frank About Health, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.